Our scripture today is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4, verses 18 through 22. And I'll read this scripture, unlike what I usually do, I won't really be dealing with this scripture very much, using it as sort of a final example of the call of God. Rather, what I want to do today is sort of draw together what we have been talking about for the last couple months since Easter on the call of God, looking at these call stories. I want to draw that together today, but do so by using this story as an example and the final call story that we are considering. It is the story of the calling of the first disciples. Is early in Jesus' ministry. It's the calling of Peter and Andrew and James and John, who were fishermen. He goes down by the lake. Each of the Gospels tell the story in one way or another. Matthew, Mark, and Luke tell how Jesus went down to the lake and called them to be fishers of men. They were going about their ordinary business. They were doing the work that they had. And then Jesus showed up and called them to come and follow him, and that they may do what he is giving them to do. Hear these words from Matthew 4, verses 18 through 22. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for this word, and thank you for this another story in which we see you calling others. And so help us to hear your call to us in this time, in this place, and in all of our future together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I contemplated maybe making this into a Father's Day message somehow, but a story in which the sons leave the father doesn't exactly suggest much for Father's Day. So this is a call story, the final one that we're looking at. It's Jesus calling the disciples, the first of his disciples, for the first time. Some years ago, several years ago, I was serving as the chair of a committee of our presbytery that oversees the preparation of new pastors going through the educational program. And so we got to talk a lot about call and about people who were called. And our task as the committee was to help people discern whether they were called to be a pastor, to be in ministry in some ordained clergy sense. There was one young man that I worked with for quite a while who believed he was called to ministry, and indeed he was, but we were convinced was not really called into the ordained pastoral ministry. Yet he did not see it that way. And so he spent a lot of time and effort trying to convince us and trying to get the educational program. He actually wound up taking over 10 years to finish a degree, which he actually never finished, spent a lot of money, almost went bankrupt, because it was very hard for him to learn. He had a severe learning disability, but insisted that God had called him to the ordained pastoral ministry. And so he would go and go and go. The tragedy is that he served in many ways in powerful ministry. He was an elder in his church and was involved in many ministries there. He worked for a period of time as a director of a nonprofit, a Christian nonprofit. He even served on the staff of a presbytery for a period of time. And yet none of that convinced him that that was his call. There was always something more. He needed to be a pastor, even though everything was pointing in a different direction. Many people who prepare for ministry do so because they feel like God is calling them, and so it must be a call to pastoral ministry. It was this kind of attitude that Martin Luther faced when he began the Protestant Reformation. When he started to speak out about some of the abuses he saw in the Roman Catholic Church, one of the things he picked on, this, a man who was a monk and a priest, was this two-tier of call, that there were the holy people and then everyone else. And if you really wanted to serve God, if you were serious, you'd be a priest, or at least a monk, or a nun if you were a woman. If you weren't serious, you'd do something else. That attitude is still with us. When we talk about call, we think of calls such as mine to be in this pulpit. But as Luther said, and as Luther taught, and it was radical for its day, and still has a lot of radicalness now, every call of God is holy. He had the strange notion that the person who cleaned the streets, and in those days, in the 1500s, the early 1500s, your job was generally set for you at birth. You didn't really move up anywhere. If you were born to a family of street cleaners, you'd be a street cleaner. And he believed that that was a holy calling, because God called you to be a cleaner of streets. Therefore, that was as holy as the one he calls to say Mass in the church. Every call is holy because a God who calls you is holy. There may be ones that are more attractive to you than others, maybe ones that our world holds in higher or lower esteem. But in the eyes of God, whatever He has called you to is holy, because He, the one who called you, is holy. Over the last several weeks since Easter, we have been looking at these call stories, at different ones through the Bible, and their intent has been to see how we can hear and see what God is calling us to today by looking at how God has called others in the past. Let me summarize some of the things that we have talked about over the last several weeks. God's call is almost always a call to go. Whether it was to go to a promised land, as the call came to Abraham, or to go to Pharaoh and demand that he release God's people, as the call came to Moses. But there was a call to the disciples to go to the nations and to make disciples. Whether it was to speak the word of God, as the call came to Isaiah and Jeremiah, prophets of God. God's call is always a call to go. Then it's also always something God promises to go with you on. God calls us to go, but then He goes too. It's a strange paradox about the way God works. He needs someone to go down to Pharaoh and demand that he release God's people, and yet God goes too and will actually work through and do the work. And yet He wants us involved in it. He calls us to go, but He goes too. He goes to bless, as He did for Abraham. He goes to work signs and wonders. He goes through the Holy Spirit, giving success to the disciples who go to the nations. We saw that God brings our calls together. We saw how God, as a great conductor of His orchestra, brings together the calls of Paul and Ananias in that chapter in Acts that we looked at. Now together, He orchestrates it so that His purposes are accomplished. We saw that our response to God's call is not so that God would like us or forgive us, but it's because God loves us, because He has forgiven us. Isaiah's lips are cleansed, and then he says, "Here I am, Lord, send me." We respond to a call not to gain anything with God, but because He has made Himself our God. Because we have been forgiven in Jesus. We've looked at all these stories so that we might better be able to hear God's call to us today. And while you and I may not be called to do something that winds up in the pages of Scripture, while you and I may not be called to one of the big turning points in what God's doing, such as the disciples are called in this passage that I just read, as Jesus, God in the flesh, comes and calls them to be a part of what He is doing here, while you and I may not be called to something so momentous, each of us, even the least of us, plays a big role in the unfolding of God's plans in ways that we have no idea. The work of God has not ended with the pages of Scripture, but begins. And you and I are folded into that, and the calls that He places on us are part of that big unfolding of God's purposes that began in Scripture and continue today. I've refrained from getting specific and want to tell you how God is calling you. But today I want to suggest some ways that some of you may be being called at this moment or maybe in the near future. And I trust that God will make clear to you just what He is calling you to, for He is calling you. For one person, it may be the call to give up something that you hold on to for your own security, throwing yourself onto God's promise to provide. For one, it is to put yourself out there, using a gift you have been reluctant to use before, submitting yourself to the glare of strangers, but daring to use something God has given you, whatever the outcome. For one, it is to receive a relationship as though risen from the dead and to work at it, giving to the other as you never have before. For one, it is to dare to love again, even though you have been so hurt in the past and your faith in humanity is shaken. For one, it is to take that opportunity that has come your way by God's grace, perhaps to change your job or career, even though it feels risky. For one, it is to speak again to that person you vowed never to talk to again. For one, it is to believe that God wants you whole and healthy, and to not get in the way of the healing that He is bringing. For one, it is to embrace the responsibility and the blessing of being a father or a mother, even if you do not feel capable of doing so. For one, it is to, as Peter calls us all to do in his letters, to give a reason for the hope that is in you, not holding back from honestly speaking and sharing your faith. For one, it is to accept that this is your life, for all its good points and bad points, and that this is the life in which God will meet you. For one, it is to finally say yes to Jesus and make Him your Lord and Savior, for He has been pursuing you for so long. For one, it is to no longer seek perfect love out in the world and from other people, but to claim your place as a beloved child of God and to find that love in your Heavenly Father. For one, it is to care about those whom no one else cares about, to allow your heart to break for those most pass by. For one, it is to let go of that destructive habit that you cling to because it makes you feel safe, and to finally accept that safety is in the Lord and in Him alone. For one, it is to let go of bitterness and anger because of all the wrongness of the world, and instead to choose love as Jesus loved. For one, it is no longer seek for happiness in the things of the world, but to find instead your joy in the Lord. For one, it is to ask for forgiveness from someone you have hurt. For For one, it is to give of what you have, your money, your possessions, your time, trusting that there will be enough. For one, it is to live a more healthy life because life is worth living again. For one, it is to pursue an occupation even though the job opportunities are not good, but because God is calling you to do it. For one, it is to stop trying to control everything and everyone and to receive from the hand of the Lord. For one, it is to stand up for what you believe. Even though it may mean losing a friendship or another relationship, even though it may be embarrassing. For one, it is to no longer be content with getting by in your marriage, but beginning to work to build it into what God wants it to be. For one, it is to get your affairs in order, because your time on this earth is growing short. For one, it is not to move because there are greater opportunities to serve God where you are. For one, it is to move because there are greater opportunities to serve God where you are going. For one, it is to receive your life as a gift from God rather than as a burden or punishment. For one, it is... Well, you get the idea. Wherever you felt like I was talking about you, it's probably where God's calling you. The call comes in the big moments, those real turning points in our lives, the kind we talk about when we talk about what we're going to do with our life and what kind of job we're going to have. But the call also comes in those everyday opportunities. Those daily choices that make and shape a life. One of you sent me an email a story to me, set aside for the conclusion of this series on call, that makes a good point of how it says everyday calls that God may actually place in our hands. I'll share it. A few years ago, a group of salesmen went to a regional sales convention in Chicago, and they had assured their wives that they'd be home in plenty of time for Friday night's dinner. In their rush with tickets and briefcases, one of these salesmen inadvertently kicked over a table which held a display of apples. Apples flew everywhere. Without stopping or looking back, they all managed to reach the plane in time for their nearly missed boarding. All but one. He paused, took a deep breath, got in touch with those feelings, and experienced a twinge of compassion for the girl whose apple stand had been overturned. He told his buddies to go on without him, wave goodbye, told one of them to call his wife when they arrived at their home destination, and explain his taking a later flight. And then he returned to the terminal where the apples were all over the terminal floor. He was glad he did. The 16-year-old girl was totally blind. She was softly crying, tears running down her cheeks in frustration, and at the same time helplessly groping for her spilled produce as the crowd swirled about her, no one stopping and no one caring for her plight. Salesman knelt on the floor with her, gathered up the apples, put them back on the table, and helped organize her display. As he did this, he noticed that many of them had become battered and bruised, and these he set aside in another basket. When he had finished, he pulled out his wallet and said to the girl, "Here, please take this $40 for the damage we did. Are you okay?" She nodded through her tears. He continued on with, "I hope we didn't spoil your day too badly." As the salesman started to walk away, the bewildered blind girl called out to him, "Mister," he paused and turned to look back into those blind eyes. She continued, "Are you Jesus?" He stopped in mid-stride and he wondered. He gently went back and said, "No, I'm nothing like Jesus. He's good, kind, caring, loving, and would never have bumped into your display in the first place. And the girl gently nodded. I only asked because I prayed for Jesus to help me gather the apples. He sent you to help me. So you were like him. Thank you for hearing his call, mister. What way is God calling you to join him in what he is doing? Comes into your ordinary world, just as it came into the world of the fishermen. And said, come, follow me. And so he says to you, comes into your ordinary world, into our ordinary church. And it's Jesus who says, come, follow me. And I will Amen.